Okay, what's going on?
AudioToYou.com.
The home of quality podcasts.
Stay tuned to this channel.
Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 149 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. And with me on the line, once again, recovered from his jet lag, Mr. Shelton Muller. How are you?
Well, I've managed to retain my hybrid Canadian-Australian accent.
Fantastic.
I haven't come back with anything Californian or anything like that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. A lot of our listeners are Californian.
Okay.
although I must admit, I'm rather disappointed in quite a few of them. I got to tell you, Bruce.
They didn't show?
Well, couple did, but, you
okay.
know. Yeah, I'm sorry. I expected to be swamped. You know, I expected that, you know, that scene from A Hard Day's Night when the Beatles are being chased through the streets?
Right.
I expected something like that.
Right.
But, you know, no. And I wasn't, unfortunately. But that's all. That's okay. But no, it's nice to be back, mate. It's nice to be back and, you know, talking to you, buddy.
Yeah. And was it a great trip?
It was a really good trip. Glyn and I went there, of course, under the Creative Photo Workshops banner, which is the...
Sure.
Successful little business that we started about 11 months ago, and
wow.
it went off like
bag of prawns in the
sun. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, you've heard that one before, have you?
Just a couple of times.
And it was really good. We got through LA airport in record time.
Okay.
Yeah, it was not the hell that everybody said it would be. We
okay.
basically got through there rather quickly.
Awesome.
And the moment we got into our shuttle bus to head for our hotel, the Quality Inn, no less,
right.
in Anaheim, spelt K-W-A-L-I-T-T-Y, the Quality Inn in Anaheim. Immediately, who gets into the bus? But you know, someone Glyn knows who runs a prominent photo retail business in New Zealand. So immediately, you know, we've started pushing the workshops in New Zealand. It's just the nature of my friend Glyn.
Yeah,
he is, you know, a born salesperson.
Yeah.
And but the show went very well for us as a business. We'll be running back to LA in June. So look out for us again. Although actually, I think we'll be heading to Las Vegas. Come to think of it.
Wow.
So. Never been to Las Vegas, so that will be interesting.
You will love Vegas.
Oh, really?
with apologies to anybody who lives there, Vegas is an absolute freak show. You will just love it.
All right. Now, I don't know what you're trying to say there about me, but, you know, is it freakier than Venice Beach at dusk?
Well, I can't say I ever was on Venice Beach at dusk.
Right.
We walked around Santa Monica Pier in the daytime, and that was all fairly tame.
Yeah.
But yeah, Vegas is just another world.
Well, we're going back there to pitch our workshops and show them how they're done to a very prominent chain of photo retail stores in the United States.
Nice.
And then we're going back in September to actually run a tour of workshops. So
wow.
those people live. Yeah, that'll be more in the, it'll be a little bit over the east, a little bit more, but so all our listeners in the States, we will be back. Another chance for you to, you know, do that scene from A Hard Day's Night. Okay, I'm just, you know, heads up, start planning now. But
awesome.
the show was wonderful. It was interesting to walk around and basically see a whole bunch of really cool gear and you know, see where the photo industry is headed. There's a lot of stands that are looking at new ways of printing and output. You know, they're really pushing that through photo retail, and that's, as we've often said, that's the way it should be.
Right.
And there was actually a very interesting contingent of Chinese and Korean stands there. There were areas set aside for, you know, stands, businesses from China, businesses from Korea, and there was a lot of interest in their products. So that I thought was rather interesting as well.
Yeah, right.
It was the first time I've ever been to, you know, an American PMA, the big one.
Yep.
And it was very eye-opening for me. Got to meet some really cool people and hung out with Erin Manning, of course, who had her own cable TV show on photography.
Yeah. Yep.
And that was really cool. She's a lovely lady. I got to meet some very cool photographers, people I'd long heard of and never had the chance to meet, such as Lee Varis. Hello, Lee, if you're listening. But it was a great event for photographers to attend and anyone in the industry to attend, because to me it was rather encouraging, except for the absence of Canon and Apple.
Wow.
Adobe weren't there either.
Seriously?
Yeah. Canon had no stand.
Wow.
You know, they said they weren't going to be there.
It's funny, you know, just actually before I follow through on that, on that thought,
yeah,
how did you feel it compared with PMA in Sydney last year in terms of size and coverage?
Well, the size, of course, is probably about three times the size.
Right.
Yeah, three to four times the size. In terms of coverage, well, there's naturally, because of the size, there is the there's a lot more equipment, a lot more stuff to see. And, you know, a lot of money goes into the stands. There's actually a lot of photographic presentations by photographers. Some, of course, I think were a little bit above the audience.
Right.
But nonetheless, they were excellently done, especially
well, that,
on the
well,
Sony.
Well, that's good, because that means you're dragging the audience up rather than just, you know, addressing the lowest common denominator.
Yep, very true. Although I must admit, I was watching one of them, and Sony had brought along, you know, these top photographers, and they're talking about, you know, photographing celebrities in the studio or in the street or whatever, and saying things like, you know, look, next time you're in a shoot situation like this, you know, once you've finished working with the client and doing what the client wants, take some time out and shoot through yourself. And I'm thinking, rah, like I'm going to be photographing Robert De Niro in my studio in the next days, and I'll remember this, you know, just a little bit like that.
Yeah, right. The reason I asked that question, the thought that I was getting to, was that just after it was over, I met up with some other photographers who are well known in the Australian industry who had just returned, who made the comment that it was a lot smaller than in previous years.
Apparently that's the case. Not having a frame of reference, I wouldn't know, never having been there before, but that's what I had heard.
Which was why I asked how you felt it compared against Sydney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still much larger. Much larger.
Yeah.
But of course, America has 300 million people and, you know, they, you know, naturally can therefore justify greater expense or whatever. But apparently it was a fair bit smaller than previous years. And that, you know, I mean, if you take three of the biggest players in the photo industry out, Adobe, Canon and Apple.
Yeah, that is huge.
That is huge. And, you know, their absence actually was not met well by the audience and by photo retail.
I can imagine.
I think they did themselves a lot of damage. Maybe not so much Apple and Adobe, but Canon definitely.
Yeah.
I think in the minds of retail, because the Anaheim
particularly with the 7D having only just hit the market.
Yes.
You'd have thought they'd have been there touting that.
Yep.
You know, and if you're going to go to the expense of actually putting a booth in, you know, then you'd promote everything you've got.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, they weren't there. Nikon had a hell of a show going on, and so did Sony. And
Nikon would have loved it.
Yeah, oh, it was great.
With Canon not being there.
And it was like glass shelves full of all these wonderful, 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 wonderful things.
So, mate, did you bring me home a 500mm F4 from Sony?
Yeah, I did, Matt. Yeah. I've got to get it posted up to you. I'll get it couriered tomorrow. Sorry, Matt. Yeah. I did actually look for that pano head that you were talking about.
Oh, yeah, the Nodal Ninja.
Couldn't see them anywhere.
Oh, okay.
So, sorry about that.
No,
but
drums.
I did look. And the 500mm F4 is on its way. Sony have got some really, really big plans and some greatness, you know, new gear coming out that they were very hush-hush about. But, you know, the Olympus pen seems to have set some kind of trend in the industry. And it would appear that there are people following suit and probably going to do a bit of a better job than Olympus, but we'll see.
So hang on. I just want to interrupt and backtrack to something you said 15 seconds ago.
Yeah.
Were Sony actually hinting at what it is they've got coming? Because I've heard some rumors.
Yeah, and what have you heard?
That there will be at least two new DSLRs later in the year which will feature video functionality.
Yes, I think that's the case. They've also got some, you know, smaller what do they call the Micro Four Thirds, I think, coming out, or is it...
Really? Sony's getting into that.
Yeah, Sony had some interesting stuff going on a little glass shelf there that was rather interesting.
But, wow.
But the in along the lines of, you know, they have these a lot of these small little rangefinders are coming out that are sort of like the Olympus Pen or catering to that audience, and you know, they're looking at stuff like that. Samsung are going to be doing similar things, not quite the same, but and they're coming out to Australia too, so you know, that interesting. So all in all, it was there were some great conventions or great seminars to attend, especially on social networking and the power of social networking.
That would have been interesting.
Was very, very interesting.
Oh, you got along to it?
I attended because my good friend Glenn was giving the lecture.
Oh, okay.
So I sort of had to, you know, otherwise. But yeah, I did there, and it was very, very interesting. The great thing is, of course, that Glenn is an expert at social networking, as seen by our Creative Photo Workshops website, which runs off the back of Facebook, which, you know, we do a lot of constant updating with and using to, you know, network with photographers.
Yep.
And the power of that was made clear to photo retail in terms of how it should be used. And the great thing about a lot of what was going on in terms of what we were presenting and in terms of how it was accepted was that photo retail is looking more at, you know, not selling the steak, but the sizzle now. And we've been talking about this with them for a long time. That, you know, no longer should we should be talking about megapixels and sensors and CMOS and CCD and how many frames per second or whatever else you want to use to sell a camera. But at photo retail level, there should be a greater passion for photography itself. If we're going to be photo retailers, for instance, the person needs to come in to the retail outlet and feel like there's some photography stuff going on here and not, you know, like they've walked into a Costco or a Walmart over there and they've got a range of cameras that they just get put in a bag.
Yep.
You know, if that's going to be the level at which photo retail is going to compete, it won't be able to compete.
No.
So it has to find other ways of retaining its customer base. And we as workshops company were very well received for our concepts of, you know, running workshops through photo retailers. Right. And that idea went off well.
Yeah, you said to me on the phone that it was like you'd come into town with a whole new idea.
Sort of, yeah. One lady came up to us who runs a photographic retail outlet in Canada, and she said, "Oh, I like you guys. Hey, you're turnkey." And I didn't know what that meant, but basically it meant that, you know, we're ready to go. We turn up and we do our thing. She doesn't have to find anybody, get anybody trained up. Yeah. We just turn up and we do our thing.
Soup to nuts.
Sorry?
Soup to nuts.
Soup to nuts.
That's another expression that basically means from A to Z. From soup at the beginning of the meal through to nuts at the end of the meal. You never heard that one?
Never before.
Oh, okay.
No. But something like that.
The American audience would be familiar with it. It's
yes. So that would, and well, the concept is interesting for photo retailers because again, we're at an age where they're realizing that we can't sell cameras we can't survive off selling cameras, and there has to be something else that photo retail presents to its customer base.
Yeah, well, I guess retail can't rely on just trying to be cheaper because you'll never beat the price of buying it off the net.
No.
Through a bricks and mortar store. So as you say, they've got to offer something more than just a better price.
And I think our timing at Creative Photo Workshops was perfect.
Yeah.
We were not given one negative response in any way.
Wow.
Everyone we spoke to said, "What a great idea. Let's talk about it." And these were everybody from, you know, single retailers to very large photographic chains.
Awesome.
So that was a surprise for us in one way, and yet at the same time, not a surprise. It was absolutely in line with where the industry from a photo retail, you know, perspective is going. So we're really happy about that, and we love what we do. And we even had a chance to run a workshop while we were there in Torrance in LA.
Right.
For a place called Paul's Photo. Hello, Mark, if you're listening. Mark runs Paul's photo and does a great job. He's got this very big, very, very, very big American personality. We loved him. He'd cool. be the first to admit that he's got a very big American personality, and that's fine. But he runs a great photo store. Paul's Photo in Torrance is a really cool place. I love walking in because it's one of these photo stores that's, you know, got lots of cool stuff just in shelves and, you know.
Yep.
But he's really cool accessories, stuff you just don't see on Australian shelves because yep. we just have the population here to support, you know, all those buying in all those kinds of things. But we did a very interesting workshop. We did our natural light creative people photography workshop. And Mark offered us as a location. Now, here's the interesting thing. After we gave the morning presentation in his, you know, in his classroom that he has attached to the shop, our location for the afternoon photo session was his parking lot.
Okay.
And you know what? When we turned up and we, you know, the day before to scout and find out what we were going to do, I admittedly, you know, I went into a little bit of a freak out because how are we going to take photographs of people in a parking lot?
Yep.
We normally used to where we go, and you've been there, Abbotsford Convent, which has, you know, you can very boring places, but really cool, you know, lighting opportunities as well, windows and corridors, sure. all yeah. sorts of things. This is a parking lot
yeah.
in the afternoon in Los Angeles.
Yeah, right.
And yet the point was made that you can take fabulous photographs in a parking lot if that's all you've got. All yeah. you really need to do is, you know, well, what
find
we said.
Find the light and put them in it.
Find the light and put them in it. Pose for the light. Walk back. Zoom in. Open up. And walk the arc. These yeah. are the things that we talk about in that lecture, in that presentation in the morning. And I must admit that I had to remind myself of it because I teach it, you know, in lecturing at this workshop, and then I'm freaking out because I have to take photographs in a parking lot. Well, that shouldn't be the case. And I had to remind myself that this is exactly what I'm teaching. And it was a really good lesson for me, but and also an excellent lesson for the customers. We found shafts of light coming along walls that we'd posed the model for, and we used reflectors and scrims and walls and shade and highlight open, you know, that we opened the back door to Paul's photo, to Mark's store,
right.
and opened the back door and let the light just spill in on her, et cetera, et cetera. We did all those things and came up with, well, we actually went through everybody's photographs at the end of the day. Mark put their cards into the laptop, opened up Adobe Bridge,
yep.
and everybody, including Glenn and I, had to show our photographs from the afternoon. And it was some of the images you'd think, well, that was taken in this parking lot in this bright Los Angeles afternoon. And it really is quite wonderful. And the lesson there is, of course, that it's not about the location. It's about the light. And it's about, you know, other photographic techniques that mean that you can take great photographs everywhere, you know, if you know how to work with it. So awesome. That worked really well. And we're going to be doing more in LA with Mark in future. They want to do our flash workshop. So it was really, look, for two Aussies who were just hanging around LA, it was just a really great 12 days.
Awesome.
It was absolutely fantastic. We learned a lot. We gained and made a lot of friends. We had went back to Aaron Manning's place and had Mexican food and beer. and then we spent from midnight or 11 o'clock till 1 o'clock in the morning recording an interview with Aaron in her studio.
Awesome.
Yeah, she interviewed Glenn and I, and I don't know where that footage will wind up, but I'm looking forward to seeing it because it was rather funny. Yeah. And you know, we even did a great shoot with a beautiful model on Venice Beach.
Now, hang on. Before you're skipping one of your social engagements, I believe.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, of course. Well, you guys already know about that because apparently he spoke about us with great height while we were away.
That's right.
What did he say? I haven't heard the podcast yet. How wonderful did he say?
Well, I opened the podcast by saying, you know, how did you go entertaining these two crazy Aussies, you know, over there last week? And he said, well, it's encouraged me, or I can't remember his exact words, he said, but it's made me want to come to Australia even more. So we'll probably be down there in October. I said, you beauty. Well,
yeah. And when he does, we'll be running a workshop with him. That's the plan.
Sweet.
So if he comes down, we'll be, we're already, of course, you know, product partnering with David Honnell for his Honnell gear.
Yep.
And he has kindly sent us both an entire kit.
Nice.
So that's really nice. So you're not the only one with Honnell gear now, Bruce Williams.
Fantastic.
It's nice to know that I'm your equal again, and also getting free stuff from people, you know, as it should be, just because you're the host, right? But no, look, we had a lovely time at Dave's studio, and, you know, we basically, there wasn't a lot of photography going on. It was just really lovely that he invited us. It was just a cocktail party in his studio.
Sure.
And we got to look at his gear, and we got to meet some of his friends, and, you know, met Claudia, of course, who's a lovely
yep.
lady.
Yep.
You know, and I did something really cool. I said, Claudia, can I get, you know, your husband to take a photograph of you and I together using my iPhone, because I want to MMS it to my son. So David took this picture of Claudia and I, and she's giving me a really close cuddle.
Right.
And I just went bang, and I sent it to my son, you know, who remembers Babylon 5, of course, and he's there with a few teenage friends, and, you know, I get this, cool, she's still hot, Dad. From awesome. You know, from my son a few minutes later. So, you know, it was cool. We had a really lovely time with David, and we will be catching up when he comes down under, more than likely in October. That's the plan.
Fantastic. Geez, you're going to have a busy year this year.
It'll be a very busy year this year. We've got all sorts of things planned. So, but that's the idea, you know. We want to basically run our workshops in Australia and overseas, and you know, want to take the love of photography as far as we can possibly go.
Sure.
So, you know, it really did work well, and we are, you know, very happy to, and as I've said in this, you know, podcast many times, to be able to continue, you know, our workshops, not just because it's our business and we get to feed our families from it, but because it's extremely rewarding to us at many levels, photographically and personally, to be able to share that information and make a difference is really quite wonderful. And you meet some really wonderful people in this industry. You really do.
Yeah. So on to Venice Beach.
Venice Beach was very interesting. We had organized through modelmayhem.com to photograph a model, a California girl, Glyn Lavender, my friend Glyn. He said, look, let's photograph a real California girl, you know, fake tan, fake blonde, fake boobs, and Idaho. But instead, what do I get? I get a girl from LA who's got a real tan, real blonde hair, and real boobs. And her name is Jacqueline Gray, and she turned up 20 minutes late for the shoot, which models do, and then spend another 20 minutes rummaging around in the trunk of her car, or the boot, as we call it here, trying to find clothes, which really didn't matter, because all I wanted was her jean shorts and a red bikini. But well, you know. the thing about Jacqueline was great. She was just so funny, and she put up with a lot of sleazy comments from passers-by because, well, the girl's fairly stacked.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen the photographs.
Yes.
She's fairly well put together.
Yep.
So she put up with all of that, and, you know, we had a lot of homeless guys sort of hanging around because it was Venice Beach while we were doing our photographs. But the afternoon clouded over, and it was by no means a typical California beach shoot because the sun was nowhere to be seen. And again, you've probably seen some of the photographs.
Yeah.
So it came down to doing some, you know, getting the pocket wizards out and doing some off-camera flash stuff. We were joined by Erin Manning, and, you know, she just loved hanging around two Aussies because apparently we made her laugh a lot, and that's true. And she had her, you know, we got on really, really well. It was really, really a pleasure to then, you know, not only meet her, but then we invited her down for the shoot, and she turned up, which was really cool.
Awesome.
So, and she'd never done off-camera flash work before.
Is that right?
Yeah, never done it. Never done it. She'd worked in studios and worked with reflectors and natural light, but never done any really cool OCF. So she was intrigued by what we were doing and, you know, setting up the pocket wizard, you know, setting up the flash, lighting up Jacqueline, you know, rim lighting her, front lighting her, etc. with off-camera flash guns.
Yep.
Not her thing. It's not what Erin does. She didn't sort of, I mean, she joined in the shoot and she did a few photographs for reference, not exactly her style or, you know, genre of photography. But I thought it was very interesting that here was someone of her status who hasn't gone the strobist route yet, which, you know, is not a criticism. It was just interesting that...
Just an observation.
And look, like I say, not really a criticism because it's not her style of photography and she probably isn't going to pursue that route anyway. But it was just lovely that, you know, we had something that we could impart to her, you know, considering that, she's had this very successful cable TV program on photography for a while. So that was really cool. But it was a great experience to, you know, be able to photograph another box that we ticked, to be able to photograph a California girl on a California beach. You know, you got to do that once in your life.
Nice.
So it was really, really good. So apart from that, you know, we just met a lot of really great people. And we'll be going back again. You know, there's not a lot more for me to say, I must admit, that I can think of in terms of, you know, lessons in photography, etc. I'll get something better prepared for our next podcast. But this
that's fine. It was good to catch up and hear all of your adventure. So,
yeah, you know, and every day brought about so many. You know, there were so many Aussies there. It was really cool to catch up with so many Australians there.
Right.
And you know, met some really great American industry figures as well. So that, for me, I mean, Glyn's been there many, many times because he's been involved in photo retail at a very high level here in Australia for a long time.
Yep.
I, on the other hand, have just been a humble photographer and magazine editor. So no wonder I didn't have damn money to go to America. you know, in 11 months of working with Glyn, you know, we financed a trip to the United States and, you know, spent 12 days there doing our thing.
Awesome.
So, you know, and it was really good. Was very exciting. And we'll be back, you know, next year, no doubt, to do the same.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is going to be an interesting year. I suspect there are going to be some holes in the recording schedule over the course of this year, which...
Either that or we'll fake it and we'll record two together and say, hey, it's been a week since I heard from you last
week. You know, we are also at the same time organizing other interviews and, you know, those sorts of things. So on the weeks when you and I can't record, you know, it may be that I have somebody else, you know, jump in your spot, keep the seat warm for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a couple of weeks. Oh, it's a good thing.
Thanks. You know, I've been loyally, you know, I haven't gone to other guys. I haven't gone off to other gas dudes and said, hey, you know. But no, that's all right. That's fine. You get your other, David Honnells and your Joe McNallys and whoever you want. Sorry, you were saying?
Well, I was going to say, in a couple of weeks' time, I'm actually going to be speaking to the people from Wacom.
Yes.
Which I'm really looking forward to because... The great folks at Wacom have actually given me an Intuos 4 graphics tablet.
And I tried one of those once, but damn if that thing didn't get stuck in my throat. Seriously, have you seen the size of the damn things? And they're supposed to make you do better Photoshop. It just didn't work for me.
Couldn't swallow it?
No. I mean, I'm glad it wasn't a suppository. Can you imagine? Oh,
thank you for that image.
Yeah. But they're tablets for Pete's sake. Yeah, I looked at the thing and you said, you want me to put this where? You know? Oh, anyway.
So I've got to say, you know, having never used the tablet before, it has been a real eye-opening experience, if you'll pardon the pun. it really changes the way you work with brushes in Photoshop.
Yes.
As I said to you before we started recording, I really haven't, you know, dug very deep into what this tablet and stylus combination is actually capable of. They say you can do amazing things with it in terms of just like doing everything in Photoshop with just your tablet and stylus. So you don't even need your keyboard and mouse. And I haven't really got quite that involved with it yet. But what I have found is that just, you know, simple retouching with, you know, even just the basic brushes, it's just a completely different approach using a stylus and tablet to trying to wave a mouse around.
Yep.
And I honestly don't think I could ever go back to trying to photo retouch without a tablet now.
Okay.
I'm just sold on it.
Okay.
So,
I'll have to give it a try.
Yeah.
I'm still a mouse man.
Are you?
And I know that's really, you know, way off beam. A lot of photographers would say, what? But I'm still a mouse man.
Well, mate, we're going to see if we can line you up with one of these tablets because I honestly believe that if you got it set up right and you gave it a try, you would be absolutely sold on it. I really do think that. But anyway, so we're going to have those two people on. They're the two people who are sort of like head of marketing for Wacom in Australia. in a couple of weeks' time. I just organised it this evening, actually, just lined up the time to record with them. So
fantastic.
Either I or they were not available in the next 2 weeks. So, right. Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Oh, I've got a couple of podcasts before you throw me off. Is that basically what you're saying? I've got two more
not
to do.
Not throwing you off.
Yeah, no, that's all right. No, it's okay. I'm not sensitive about these things, Bruce. You know, I get carried away. Yeah, it's fine. No, that'll be cool. Well, look, I'll certainly, you know, give that a try. Glenn and I have been in discussions also with Nick Software, and they'll be working with us.
I've heard the name. What do they do?
They do Photoshop plugins, Photoshop and Lightroom plugins, essentially, and right. They are fabulous products that, you know, basically take care of a lot of things in Photoshop that you'd have to do, you know, take a long time to do yourself. They have a plugin that, you know, goes into your filter, in the filter section of your menu in Photoshop, and, you know, does so many things for you, like presets and actions. But the Viveza, the new Viveza software that they've got, is, I would recommend it for people who want to, you know, repair photographs and enhance photographs in very special ways. The Viveza software that I got, I've only really just started playing with it. But if, for instance, if there's a color cast in the face, you can just put reference point, the pointer on the face, and just with a couple of sliders fix it, and it won't alter any other part of the image. It somehow knows.
Wow.
That you only want to fix the face. In the instructional video that comes with the software, there's this color cast, this blue color cast that just comes across one bottom section of the bride's dress. And he just puts the pointer on there, moves the slider, and it only fixes that section.
Wow.
It's just, you know, fantastic stuff. I mean, this is just their Viveza software. They have so much else to offer, so much more to offer, that I'll be downloading and using very, very soon. So keep listening for constant updates on the Nick plugins. I've really been impressed with the Viveza to start with. And it'll be interesting to say, well, here's a Wacom tablet, which has all this functionality built into it. You've got the Nick software, which has all that functionality built into it. You know, somebody stop me.
Yeah. Wow.
It'd be really very, very cool.
Now, listen, there is one thing I do need to clear up.
Yeah.
Almost everybody calls it a Wacom.
Yeah.
It's Wacom.
Okay.
Even these photographers that I was sitting down with last week were calling it Wacom. And I'd already heard prior to that, because I interviewed one of the guys from Wacom when I was at PMA last year here in Sydney. And so I already knew. And I thought, I'm not gonna try and, you know, tell these photographers that they're wrong, because these guys have way more experience than I do, even though I'd heard it from the source. And sure enough, Linda, who's their marketing manager, she gets up and she explained that it's called Wacom because wa in Japanese means harmony, and the company is all about harmony with computers. Wacom. So there you go.
Oh, well, I will continue then to call it a Wacom from this point on, of
just
course.
Thought I'd share that with you.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It was funny because Glenn was giving these lectures, you know, to the American audiences there in Anaheim.
Right.
And he was using words like mom and Nikon.
Oh, okay.
And I'm thinking, Glenn, what the heck?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're in America now, yeah. You know. But he was very good at making that adaptation. You know, he was talking about moms and cameras, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, Charmaine. Okay, sorry. Okay. Moms with cameras, and of course Nikon cameras. You know,
yeah.
People would ask me, what camera system do you use? And I say, oh, Nikon. And they go, Nikon. Yeah, Nikon. Of course, you know, we're closer to the actual Japanese pronunciation. So,
what? How do the Japanese say it?
Nikon.
Oh, that's right. They do too. Yeah,
Nikon. Yeah, Nikon. Or something like that. You know, with the knights who say Nikon. Yeah,
yeah,
and. So, you know, it was very interesting. But, yeah, Wacom it is. So getting back to what we were saying,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to having, well, you know, this Nick functionality now in my Lightroom and in my Photoshop. That's seriously cool. That's really cool. I'll keep you posted, you know, episode by episode on some of the cool functionality of this software, because I've really just become – I've known of Nix Software for a long time, but I haven't been a big one for plugins, I must admit.
I'm the same.
Yeah.
Cause, and I don't know about you, but I've always taken the attitude that, hey, I don't know every function that's in Photoshop, so why go and load it up with a bunch of third-party plugins when I'm not even using everything that's already in the program?
Yeah. Well, I've been more along the lines of, look, I know my styles of photo image enhancement.
Right.
I would like or prefer to create, and I know how I shoot, so I would prefer to create my own actions and presets rather than let someone else do it for me. I've downloaded the odd plugin before and given it a try, and I haven't liked it. And maybe I didn't give it enough of a chance, but I thought, nah, I'll just do my own. And I still do. But this Viveza software is more than a plugin, because it gives you, it's not just something you click and there you go, that's the black and white effect that we know you like. Well, maybe I don't. Maybe I want to do my own. But the Viveza is actually a bunch of sliders that, you know, give you direct control over certain portions of the image in terms of clarity, contrast, saturation, color cast. It's fantastic stuff. So, we're going to be getting some more from them. So I'll keep you posted in terms of in this podcast as to really cool things that we like.
Awesome. But,
and the other thing, of course, that I was given, Glenn and I were given in Anaheim, was the Black Rapid strap, the R strap.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I have hated straps since I first bought a camera.
Okay.
I don't have the broadest of shoulders, right? So I'm a skinny little guy. So cameras always fall off my shoulders. And I've often thought this is all part of God's great joke with me. You know, give me the gift of photography and don't give me the shoulders to carry the cameras on. You know, I can be walking down the street, you know, carrying two cameras, one off each shoulder, maybe a tripod or something. And I'll end up with the strap around my elbow and each arm because my cameras are falling. And you know what that's, you know, and that happens to me all the time. But this R strap, I love it because it goes diagonally across, and it you don't actually have to swing it on your body. The camera moves along the strap, and the strap doesn't actually move. So you can bring the camera up to your eye, shoot, and put it back down on your hip where it sits beautifully, and you don't even notice the weight. You don't notice that it's there without even moving the strap. It doesn't rub on you at all. The shoulder pad stays where it is, and the camera runs on a roller along the strap. And it's just beautiful. And the weight distributed diagonally across your body with, you know, screwed into the tripod mount. Just love it. It's camera ready. It's always there. It's just fantastic. So if you haven't got one yet, you know, they make a single and a double. Difficult for women. Erin Manning was saying this because she tried one of ours on.
Right.
And, of course, you know, she has different, she's got a different sort of chestular makeup. to us blokes, although Glenn, I must admit, does have an excellent pair. Sorry, Glenn. Sorry, yeah. Erin said, oh, this isn't really good for women. You know, they should make, you know, and I said, oh, I don't know. You know, Glenn's got breasts. He wears it just fine. You know, because, you know, Erin just laughed. But no, she was absolutely right. The diagonal thing, of course, cutting across the cleavage and stuff is something that they will have to address. But I know a lot of women who do use the R strap and are very, very, you know, pleased with it. I do love mine, absolutely. And the thing is that I've hated straps for so long that I have to get used to the idea of actually having a strap and liking it.
Yeah, right.
Pack my camera away, I take my strap off because it fits into the tripod socket and it's just hard to pack away. So I take it off and then I've got to remember, oh, hang on, I've got this awesome strap that I love. I have to remember to put it back on the camera every time I shoot. But it makes life so handy. It really does. That's you know, it gives you two hands free. It's extremely comfortable. And, you know, we absolutely love ours. And we also came across a company called Hoodman, which aren't in Australia yet.
Right.
But I believe they will be visiting when PMA hits Melbourne in June.
Right.
And they are an excellent company who make, one of their most prominent products is the Loop. It's a loop that fits on the back of your camera.
Nice.
You can actually permanently to the back of your camera, or you can just hang it around your neck. And you know how if you're in bright sunlight, it's a mongrel sometimes to see the photograph you've taken.
Yep.
But you just cover it up with this loop and have a look.
But hang on, how could you leave it on the back of your camera when you're trying to shoot?
Then
get in the way of your cheekbone when you're trying to get your eye to the viewfinder?
If you've got a camera with live view, you can do that. or they've actually designed it for, you know, you've got models like the 7D and the 300S and the D90 cameras that do video. And a lot of photographers or a lot of videographers are buying DSLRs to do their video now because they love the pull focus techniques and all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So they are, you know, basically getting in on that market as well, which is the place they started. They started actually in the TV industry,
right,
making and things for screens and for shooting. So they've moved into the still photography industry. But we love our loops that Hoodman so kindly gave to us.
Nice.
Yeah, we did walk away with some with a few free things, I got to tell you. It was really cool. We love these things because they are excellent for, you know, shooting in the sun and also for really checking your image on the spot.
Yes.
You know, running over to some shady spot and getting the camera out of the bright sun and having a look. You don't need to do that. You know, you just basically got the loop around your neck and bang, you could just put it on the back of the camera and have a look, which is
that
really
cool. That sounds awesome.
I mean, a really simple accessory, but so practical.
Yeah.
So if you haven't got one of them yet, you know, then, you know, have a look at them because they are a very practical item. And they've got beautiful 16-gigabyte compact flash cards as well. So I must admit, it was wonderful shooting RAW and JPEG all after.
This is Hoodman.
Hoodman, yes.
But whose brand of memory card?
Well, I wouldn't know.
Is it branded as a Hoodman?
Branded as a Hoodman.
Oh, yep. Okay, right.
And as we speak, it's a beautiful piece of gear. 16-gigabyte compact flash.
And what write speed?
675 times.
Yeah.
It's the fastest card at this time of
so
speaking.
So what is that in terms of megabytes per second?
Oh, I don't know. Heaps.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't tell you on the card then.
Honestly, Williams, you're such a techie. I don't know.
I am. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll find out for you. All right. Tell you. Really, really fast. All right.
Okay.
No, it's extremely fast. Actually, I it's so fast. I must admit that when you ask this question, I don't know the answer because I haven't had an issue.
Right. Wow.
Done burst modes in RAW and JPEG. I shoot simultaneously. Bang, 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 and not had, you know, the thing backing up on me. It writes very, very quickly.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. And being 16-gigabyte, you know, if you're shooting JPEG, you know, every shot you're, you know, taking up a fair bit of space, you can shoot all afternoon with just the one card and not fill it, which is fantastic.
Wow.
So, you know, they're coming down to Melbourne, apparently, all going according to plan. We're going to be in Melbourne. We have a creative photo workshops. We'll be manning a stand on behalf of the PMA, and we'll be actually running workshops right there in the expo.
Wow! How are you going to do that?
Well, here's the interesting thing that was very different about the American show to the Australian show. For the past few years now, the Australian Photographic Expo, you know, our photo and imaging trade show, has invited enthusiast photographers into the Saturday and Sunday of the show. Americans don't do that. That concept is very alien to the PMA show. I'll get the word out in just a minute.
So theirs is industry only?
Industry only,
right.
Yeah. Whereas ours, the last few years, we've invited, you know, the enthusiast photographer or anybody, really, the public, in. And it's been a raging success. Tens of thousands of people come through. A lot of interest is created in the products and that kind of thing. Now, that having been the case, I fielded the idea to, you know, guys at PMA a few years ago that we should run workshops on the floor. Give me a space. Give me, you know, some space. I'll set up, you know, a shoot situation and we'll just do, you know, a workshop every hour on the hour. You know,
nice.
We'll do a 15-minute lecture, and then, you know, we'll get people to register. Say the first 20 people to register each hour, and they get in and they actually get to do a photograph. Then they walk away with their camera. They go over to someone who's print sponsored, and they get a print made out of their favorite photograph from the shoot. You know, so the whole thing is about coming, bringing your camera, taking photographs. So if you are at the show from June 3 to 6 this year, look out for a very large stand with a couple of loony guys and some friends running it, and we'll be actually doing workshops, you know, giving something to shoot and learn there on the show. And you'll be able to see, of course, our Hoodman loops, you know, we'll be using compact flash cards. You might do a little bit of work with the Nik software on the stand. Basically have the whole thing running there for people to see what we do and, you know, what these products are good for. Actually come along and shoot something. You know, you don't want to be wandering around looking at stuff. You actually, if you've brought your camera, you want to take a picture of something. Mm. People are hungry to learn and take pictures. So that's what that's the experience that we'll be providing. And that concept will be interesting to see whether they adopt that for the show next year themselves in America.
Yeah.
Something I'd like to work towards, and I think it's something that they should adopt because attendance was much lower this year than it was in previous years, so I'm told.
Yeah, right.
And I think it's time that, you know, the photo retail industry stopped, you know, I mean, Australia woke up and said, well, who is this all about? It's not about us. It's about the people taking the pictures.
Yeah.
It's about the Americans call them mwacks, and mum with a camera.
Oh, okay.
It's about moms with cameras. It's about the bearded camera club enthusiast. It's about all these people who take pictures.
Yeah.
Why not invite them openly to the expo? Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll do that. You know, that would be, I think, that would be a great, great plus for the show next year. And we have been doing that here for a few years and it works really, really well.
Awesome.
So if, you're coming down, aren't you? You'll be coming down.
I would imagine so. I haven't thought that far ahead, but yeah, probably will.
Well, it's not that far ahead when you think about it.
No, it's only a couple of months away, I know.
Yeah, only a couple of months away. So, you know, we'll have to get you down, Bruce.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to have, we got 3AW radio station going to be broadcasting from there, apparently. And there'll be television spots. Be a great place for a man of your audio, you know, proclivities to, you know, find and meet the right people.
Definitely. And
maybe start up another, you know, competition sort of photography podcast on the side. That way you can keep me and, you know, have all your celebrity dudes, the real photographers on.
Yes, mate.
But I'm not being sensitive about this.
Of
I'm
course
just,
not.
Just an idea.
Excellent. All right, mate. Well, thank you for catching up.
Cool. My pleasure. It was great to catch up finally.
Yeah.
So much, you know, so much happened. I'm just trying to recollect, but don't worry.
Yeah, and we'll probably finish.
If I forgot tonight, we'll fix up next time.
Yeah, and we'll probably, you'll finish recording and then 15 minutes from now, you'll go, why didn't I tell him about that?
Yeah. Yep.
So anyway.
But I'll keep that for a future podcast. We can't tell everybody everything.
That's it. Exactly. You
know, and we might have a new photo technique next week because I've got this new set of inspirational books by Scott Kelby.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, the digital photography book, How to Make Your Photos Look Like the Pros,
Volume
1, 2, and 3.
Because I've got your two Joe McNally books here. I've got to bring them down next week.
Oh, awesome. Okay, yes, because you're coming down for our advanced flash workshop, aren't you?
Yep.
Which is really cool. That's going to really be quite awesome. So, yeah, bring my signed copies down next week. That would be great. That means I've got two copies here that I can, I don't know, give to some homeless guy or something. I don't know what he'd do with them. But actually, what I'll probably do is keep the Joe McNally signed copies wrapped in plastic, you know, and then, you know, and they might be worth, you know, like $20 or $30 or something someday. Being signed, everything. That was lovely of Joe to do that, wasn't it?
It was. It was very lovely of him.
He was the one guy I was hoping to meet in Anaheim.
And he was in Dubai.
Yeah. Oh, well. Next time.
It seemed like everyone was over in Dubai. he was over there. David Hobby was over there, and who was it? Was it? Who was the other one? Was it? No, was it? Was it Chase Jarvis, or was it somebody else? I don't know. There was someone else. There was some other photography thingamajiggy going on over there.
Not Bob Crist. He does a lot with Joe McNally. No,
can't think. No. Anyway, doesn't matter.
No.
Cool. All right, mate. Well, good to catch up, and
you too.
We will talk with you again next week.
Looking forward to it, mate. Absolutely. And looking forward to catching up with you thereafter for an awesome workshop.
Absolutely.
No doubt. Right, keep your eye on our Creative Photo Workshops fan page and Facebook and our website for Bruce's photos.
Definitely.
See how good he is, gang. He's getting pretty mean with the camera, this Mr. Williams guy. He really is.
Thank you, mate. I'm trying.
You're awesome, dude.
All right, mate. We'll talk with you next week.
You bet. Thanks, mate. See you soon.
See ya.
This has been another AudioToYou.com podcast. For previous episodes, check out
ShuddersZincPodcast.com.
Please send questions, comments, or feedback to studio@audiotu.com.